my friend Amber and I have the most interesting conversations. Hey, yes, girl.
Hi.
So last week, I know, because sometimes you look at me like, seriously, we're going to talk about this. But you really got into this topic.
I did.
I told you that I believed that my fear of water, and it's not necessarily being near water, but on water, was attributed to past lives. Mm-hmm. And I did not know this, but you really believe in this.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely.
Like, how do you think it relates to you? Like, do you have any past life fears?
Yes. I actually have been told that I have a very traumatic past life experience. And I've always wanted to look further into it to see if it's a connection from a past life to what I'm experiencing right now.
Yeah. Hold just for a second. Let me tell you that we will get it answered for you because we've got Ainsley McLeod.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we're going to talk to him in just a few seconds here. And he wrote this fabulous book, The Transformation, and it is all about healing your soul from past life traumas that actually you think interfere with this lifetime. And if you can work through them, you can be over them and enjoy this lifetime. Okay, what's your past life?
Okay, like I said, it's pretty traumatic, but I have this tremendous fear of being raped and
what?
Getting into a vehicle at night and somebody coming from behind me and, like, grabbing me or, you know, and I don't know if it's related to a past life, but every time I'm walking out to a car at night or if I'm getting into my house, it's a constant thought in my mind.
Okay, but is there, let's just play devil's advocate here for a minute. Have you ever had any traumatic event in this lifetime where somebody tried to carjack you or scared you in the parking lot or anything that could have caused this?
Knock on wood, no, absolutely not. Nothing, you know, I've never had a sexual experience, a bad sexual experience. I've never been attacked, anything like that. So for as long as I can remember, it's been a really big fear of mine.
How do you work through it then if you're always having this feeling like someone's going to come and get you and rape you?
Well, I am a firm believer in, you know, positive energy and not putting it out there. So the moment that the thought comes into my mind, I immediately reverse it and think to myself, no, that could never happen to me, or I'm safe. I'm in, you know, because I live in a nice area. Uh-huh. So I'm like, oh, I live in a safe area. You know, I don't travel to areas that I'm not familiar with. So I remain calm and just think positive, like this isn't going to happen.
Would you think sometimes, do you think it's a little bit debilitating, this fear?
A little bit.
It seems unfounded.
Yeah, a little bit.
And okay.
So I don't know. I would love to get it answered, but I almost wonder, does it stop me in my current life with things, you know? Does it trigger me? Because I know everybody has had toxic relationships. I know I'm not the only one.
Uh-huh. Why are you looking at me?
So I almost wonder if that has anything to do with it. You know, call me crazy if, you know, it's not even remotely connected. Uh-huh. But, you know, I would like to know how this is related or why I have this fear, because I don't think that everybody has this fear. So,
And we are going to get that answered for you by talking to Ainsley and talking about his book, The Transformation, because he actually has the 10 most common past life fears. And it's not like, okay, we're going to identify your fears. We're going to teach you how to get over them so that you can live a happier, healthier life. Ainsley, how are you?
I'm doing great, Lisa. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, it's great. Really, I'm honored to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, we have a lot of questions for you. You just heard Amber talk about one of her past lives, and I want to address that. It's actually her past life fear. She doesn't know if it comes from a past life or not or where, but she has this fear of being raped and getting into vehicles and her home at night. And it's kind of really interfering with her life. How does somebody address this kind of a fear?
It's a tough one because you would have to really figure out what the cause was. Now, that's what I help people to do. You know, that's the psychic part of what I do, is to go into the past life cause. Because what you find is that when people have irrational fears, there's usually not a present life reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there can be triggers. You know, somebody who's got a real fear of being raped, for example, certainly if there's been rape in this life, it's going to increase that. It's going to act as a trigger. But when people have a fear that's absolutely debilitating like that, you can be pretty certain that the real cause lies in a previous life.
Mm-hmm.
So the ideal way of dealing with it is to actually go into the past, figure out what happened, and very often that's all you need to do. You just, you know, you figure out the source, and as what I find is that as I tell a person what happened, very often the whole issue starts to clear up almost immediately. I spoke to somebody earlier today who said that very thing, you know, that I said, you're probably going to feel a shift right now, having just talked about a past life. And she said, yeah, it's happening immediately. I mean, it was, I picture it that when you uncover a past life, it's like the soul gets it. It's like the soul goes, oh, wait a minute, that's in the past. It doesn't have to affect us now. Oh, right, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like a crazy thing. You know, people have asked me, well, doesn't your soul know? Isn't it smart enough to know the difference between a past life and a present? But it doesn't. It doesn't have all the answers, and it holds the fears and the traumas from the past. So,
yeah, it does the same way, like there is things such as muscle memory. And,
yes, absolutely.
You know, it can hang on to that. Do present life fears necessarily have to be the same thing that happened to you in that past life?
It doesn't have to be exactly the same. It'll be something that triggers the memory. And, you know, if I was to do a session with Amber, in fact, what might be a useful thing is for me to talk to Amber and do a session. Maybe we do another show and we'll just see what we come up with.
Right.
Because it could be something. I don't read while I'm doing this. I have to really have the person there.
Yep. Just
bring the guides in. So I can only hypothesize here. But something like this definitely suggests a phobia. It's probably a death-related fear. Things that happen at night can often create a fear of darkness or a fear of the unknown. So, you know, that would be significant if Amber is fine during the hours of daylight, but the fear just surfaces when it gets dark, then that would, that would hint at something that has happened in a previous lifetime in the darkness. Maybe she didn't see it coming.
Right.
And, in fact, I talked to somebody just recently who had a fear very kind of similar to that, and it had to do with somebody coming up behind her and killing her in a previous lifetime.
Whoa.
And now she has that irrational fear that it's going to happen. It'll wake her up
right
out of her sleep.
Now, before we move into actually the process that you take, let me read you just a few of the comments when I posed this to my listeners about past lives. One wanted to say, is there anything she can do about the fact that she can't even put her head under blankets or have people breathe in her face? She panics. There's some sort of a suffocation thing that she's having. Another person asked about, can past life fears that were so strong cause actual real physical ailments in this lifetime? So, and that sort of goes together, because if she's having panic, that's real, happening in this lifetime, real time.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. any kind of past life where you've been strangled, suffocated, and so on, that's going to have some repercussion. This thing of not being able to put your head under a blanket, I've come across that sort of thing before. And it's been related to suffocation in a previous lifetime. That's a very direct death-related fear. It tends to be the death fears that are death-related fears that are the ones that really tend to stand out like this, the ones that create phobias or the ones that really get in the way of your ability to conduct your life.
Have you met people that it has completely paralyzed them and they haven't been able to live a normal life because of this?
Yeah. I mean, I've there are people I talk about in my book, Transformation, who, you know, it's one person there who her life is completely ruled by her phobias until we uncovered the cause, which was almost accidental. And then the next thing is she's cured. It was a kind of instant shift. And then there was It was about a month later, and her life is completely transformed.
Mm-hmm.
This thing of having real physical ailments in this life, I think that's really interesting, because what I look at so many past lives that what I'm able to do now is that if there's been something, I mean, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. Like the other day, I'm talking to somebody who died, and part of the death experience had to do with ulcers in the legs. And I just said, well, you're bound to have some marks on your legs, and sure enough, there's something.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about one story in the transformation is a woman who got thrown into a dungeon during the French Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a he in that life, and he was eaten alive by vermin.
Wow.
And one of the things that I asked after I looked at this past life, I said, do you have any issues with unexplained itching? And she said that she had been struggling with this for decades, and no one could find a cause. She'd seen many, many doctors, checked herself into different clinics, thought it might be this, thought it might be that.
Wow.
But couldn't find a cure for it. And she was scratching herself. Oh, you know, her legs were continually bleeding. And
oh, my gosh.
Keeping her awake at night. It was, you know, it was quite a big deal. But it was totally related to this past life. So what happened, there was a few things connected with that life. And one of them was that this guy died emaciated, you know, starved to death and died of the injuries and the vermin and so on.
Uh-huh.
And so I was looking for all the connections. And one of the first things was that I said to her, I imagine you have to sleep with a nightlight. And she said, yes, you always had to have a nightlight on.
Mm.
And that's, you know, directly related to having died in the dark. And and especially at a time when there's so much heightened fear.
Yeah.
The other thing was having died of starvation. What you find is that the soul will then hold on to weight in this life. So what happened as far as the healing went with this woman was that the first thing that happened was that she had to take a trip to Europe with a friend. And the friend didn't like to sleep with a nightlight. They're sharing a room. So
mm-hmm.
she found that she could actually sleep without one. So that was the first thing.
Right.
And then she had been struggling with her weight and suddenly found that the pounds were just peeling off. She started taking exercise and dieting. And instead of her soul feeling like it had to hold on to weight for safety, it was able to let that go. She lost, I think it was 26 pounds in 2.5 months.
Oh, my gosh.
Something very significant. And when I asked her about the unexplained itching, she said it had disappeared. It just had cleared up. And this is after, you know, a lifetime or decades.
Yeah.
Now, so once your soul learns that it no longer has to hold on to the fears or that this life could turn out like the past, it's amazing that the healing can happen just instantly.
Who knew that finding out what your past lives are might be the best diet plan out there?
It's amazing, isn't it?
I mean, out there right now, everybody listening is like, oh my gosh, I've got to find out my past lives. I've got to get in contact with Ainsley. And by the way, if you'd like to get in contact with him, you can go to his website at soul-world.com, soul-world.com. And then that gives you all information about the books and about how to get a hold of him. And who knows, maybe that is one of your problems that you are holding on to the weight. Now, you brought up the story about the mice or the vermin or whatever, scratching.
Mm-hmm.
Can people have been an animal in a past life?
Not in my experience, no.
Okay.
The people I'm talking to have all been humans in their past lives. We don't seem to jump from species to species.
Right, and of course, everybody wants to be Cleopatra or King Arthur.
Yeah, I do past lives all the time, and I've actually been amazed to find just a few that are recognizable that you can go and investigate. But there's probably been about six in the time that I've been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that probably, if you put in a little bit more effort to find out about, you probably find that they were maybe minor celebrities in their time or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a great deal of healing that comes from knowing that you were simply knowing that you were a celebrity, it can help and make sense of a lot of things.
Right.
I spoke to somebody just recently whose son, I think he's about 6 years old. He was a famous Renaissance artist, a guy called Bronzino.
Uh-huh.
And,
wow.
She wrote to me about how it made total sense because of his. They took him to a hotel when he was 5 years old, and he's sitting in the restaurant ordering the staff around like he's a celebrity. They were totally embarrassed, but he was recalling being this very important guy in the past.
Now, what
kids remember their past lives more readily than adults.
They're so open to spirit and to connecting with the ethereal world, and it's just as we grow older and become cynical of that. But, you know, there are those of us out there that are reconnecting with all of that. I want to ask you about someone who has gone through a very traumatic time in this lifetime. And I do kind of relate it to myself. I have had an extensive amount of surgeries, kidney transplants, hip replacements, cancer, just the list goes on and on. And I've run into a couple other people who also have had extensive surgical and medical backgrounds. And the one woman said, boy, I must have been someone pretty awful in my past life. And I really don't believe that that's true because I don't think it's a punishment that I endured all of this.
Right.
What's your response to that?
Well, there most definitely is not any kind of punishment. It just the whole universe just doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even if you were a very bad person in a previous lifetime, well, you're probably going to try to make it up karmically by being a very, very good person in the future and kind of redressing the balance. So when you get sick or you're born with some disability or whatever it might be, this is not directly because you did something terrible in a previous lifetime. Now, there are times when you choose circumstances that may not be very pleasant because there'll be a karmic reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
I talk in the transformation about how President Truman, who was responsible for dropping bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, is experiencing what it's like to grow up in a place that's heavily polluted by, or was experiencing this in previous, that life has ended,
mm-hmm.
but learning what it's like to be in a place full of toxic nuclear waste.
Yeah.
But it's part of the balancing experience there. But your soul won't put you deliberately into a situation that is bad for you. It won't say, like, you know.
Yeah, I kind of look at it as if I made some sort of a contract to go through certain types of physical situations.
Yeah.
And
you know, one of the most useful things to think about is that your soul doesn't say, okay, we need to get cancer because we want some growth experience here.
Right.
Stuff happens. You know, you come into the world, and unfortunately, it's a place that's actually quite dangerous, and stuff happens. But it's when these things do happen that's when your soul really kicks in, and it says, okay, we have a situation here. You know, we got cancer or whatever other ailment, mm-hmm. and it wants to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
The people who get most proactive about their ailments, my last client today, just an hour ago, she's somebody who's suffered from cancer and had mastectomies and so on. And I was just actually complimenting her, telling her what an amazing person she is. She has just gone hell for leather, finding alternative treatments, ways to heal herself. And she's got an immensely positive attitude, which is the soul coming through. Your soul has no self-pity, so when it gets sick, it doesn't kind of go, oh, poor me, and it just says, okay, we have a situation here that we need to deal with. What's the best way? It also wants you to be proactive in your healing, you know, whatever that might mean. And it means not just, you know, simply going to a doctor and taking a pill and acting in a bovine kind of way, but actually getting involved. And
It's like a collaboration of your past and present situations and what we're going to do about the future. And you said it. To me, positive attitude and humor and a proactive attitude about whatever medical situation you're going through. And maybe finding out about your past lives would be something that would help you, you know, with your health issues today. So that's another option that you can think of when you're researching and looking for ways to, you know, help whatever ailment you are.
That's absolutely right, because one of the problems with having past life fears and blocks behind you is that it will shape how you deal with the crisis. There's a lot of people who have it's a past life fear of inferiority. It comes from having had a lifetime where you were treated as perhaps less than important, or had you somebody ran your life for you, and you find that people with that, they often don't really know how to fully exercise self-determination. Mm-hmm. They can very easily become submissive or go into a kind of victim role when something happens.
Right.
So the fear itself there, the fear of inferiority, is what kicks in. Now, if they can get over that fear, and the great thing about this is you don't always have to know what happened in the past life. If you can recognize the fear by the symptoms, then you can start working on it. So when, for example, if you're the kind of person who, when you get sick, you go, oh, poor me, and you go into that, you know, oh, gloom, you know, how do I get out of this? Mm-hmm. You can actually help yourself by getting into that place of self-determination. And there are techniques that I give in the transformation that will help to do that. You get into this place of self-determination when you start taking control over your life. It takes you to a place of respect, which is one of your soul's 10 ultimate goals. And once you reach that, then self-determination becomes easy. It becomes circular. So it, you know, the more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Absolutely.
And that's where you see people who really get out of the situation and start to really get on top of things.
Mm-hmm. So
there was a quote from this woman I'm talking about just an hour ago.
Who, yeah.
She said to me when she found she had cancer, suddenly people started talking to her in this sad sort of way.
I know that tone. I do.
she said to her parents, if you're going to talk to me in the sad voice, I'm not going to talk to you.
Yeah. It was always that, oh, how you doing?
Yeah.
How's it going? Great. How are you?
Even how you perceive yourself, you know, if you see yourself as a, you know, if you describe yourself as a victim of something, well, that's going to have some bearing. It's your mental attitude has so much to do with the healing and how you survive something. An interesting aspect of that is that, and I come across this all the time, twice today, is when I'm looking at a person's past life, my spirit guides who I work with, who give me all this information, they'll talk about a person dying from a physical ailment and a mental condition.
Huh.
Today, one of them was cholera and grief. And what they mean by that is that that person might have recovered. It might be a long shot, but they might have recovered had they not had the mental attitude, the gloom or the pessimism or whatever, or the expectation that they weren't going to survive. So again, it's a way of saying, had they had a more positive view, they could have overcome.
Right.
And lived.
Okay, so for the woman who can't put her head under the blanket, or someone who, you know, like Amber with the fear of rape, what is the first thing that we need to do to help ourselves get over past life fears?
Okay, what I would do is, if I was having that happening to me right now, I would try to find out what the past life cause is. There's a couple of other things that I'll talk about if we have time, but the way I would do it is to bring my spirit guides in, go into a meditation. I'd make sure I had a very quiet space for a good hour, and I would ask my spirit guides to take me to the life or the death, you know, where that created the problem. So it's like doing your own regression. You go back into what happens is your guides will take you, they will give you the visuals, but they may not even give you pictures. Some people pick up more on words, or just thoughts, feelings.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, you know, will do a past life regression and say, well, I didn't get anything. But once you look at the emotions and other ways that they're picking up on stuff, you realize that they did. It may not always come as a movie. And so if you go back in time with your guide's help, you may just find that you get a sense that either visually or emotionally that perhaps you were strangled or suffocated or something happened in this previous life. And simply by knowing that, when you come back out of it, you'll find that things have started to lift.
Okay, so for example, the woman who can't put her head under the blankets, she does, you know, the meditation, goes back and finds out that, you know, she was suffocated in whatever, you know, time frame it was. Now what?
Well, often that's all that you need to do.
Okay.
It's like, it can be, bang, that's it, problem over. It can take a little bit of time. It's always important to write about the life because there'll be more information. It won't be just all about the death. There'll be other things there. And you can learn an awful lot from a past life by processing it in writing. So I always encourage people to write about the life, write about it in a third person so you push the fears away from you. You don't say it happened to me, mm-hmm. but it happened to this person in Germany in the 18th century or wherever. Mm-hmm. And look for all the connections between the past and the present. And that's where it gets really fascinating. This is the part of the job that I just love, when you start mm-hmm. to see how many connections people make to the past. I've had people numerous times saying to me, when I've told them about a past life, and they say to me, but that's my life now. And what's happening there is, in fact, that they're looking to have similar experiences to ones mm-hmm. that they've had in the past. But the whole lesson here is to find a different way out.
Right. And how do you help people through the self-doubt of, oh, I'm just making this up?
Well, the validations in the healing, most of the time that I'm doing a past life, it's not so much regression. I tell somebody about the past life, and then a lot of the validation comes from just the fact that it'll turn out to have so much bearing on the person's life. And then the healing, you know, just as the whatever issues it was that we uncovered, they just evaporate. You know, in the transformation, I talk about there are stories that I give there. Well, I'm telling people about a past life and then looking for the fears, which makes it very interesting because that helps people to validate it. You know, if you can see what happened and then say, well, there's an example that I use as one of the first stories in there. It was about someone I found that her family had been killed. They had been poisoned. The well had been poisoned. Mm. And I went into this past life. I almost didn't use it in the story in the book because it sounded so hokey. It was sounded like an episode of a Western series. But it turned out to be this amazing story. When I said to her, do you have any kind of fear of being poisoned? She was totally silent. She was in shock. I didn't know it at the time. I thought she was just chewing something. But she just she couldn't speak, and it turned out that her life had been ruled by a phobia for several decades. She'd been phobic about poisoning. She said her husband had to taste all her food before she'd eat it.
Oh, my gosh.
She had to check the seal on everything that came into the house. She would only have the family drink bottled water. They were on a well years ago, and she would have it tested every 6 weeks and then every 3 weeks, you know, and she'd have it tested in between privately. When the kids came along in the early 80s, she said if those little jars of baby food didn't pop, if the lids didn't pop just the right way, she would throw the whole thing out. She said she'd wasted so much food in her time.
Oh my
but it
gosh.
Really was, you know, when she said paranoid, I mean, she's totally paranoid about being poisoned. And for her, the healing happened almost immediately. This is one of those cases where she said it felt like a burden being lifted. And then over uh-huh. a period of the next 4 weeks or so, a lot of healing went on till it got to a point. It was about a month later that she went to the fridge, helped herself to a glass of milk, drank it, and then realized she hadn't checked the seal. And it doesn't sound like a big deal, but she said that was the biggest day of her life.
Oh, wow.
And in that time, she came off Xanax, she stops hyperventilating, she stopped getting panics. It was everything cleared up just from knowing what had happened
mm-hmm.
and what the source of the fear was.
You know, and when you do that and your life feels freer and you feel better, you're more able to say, what is it that I haven't experienced in life that I want to experience? My fears were holding me back. Well, now now they're cleared up, we're good to go now.
That is totally right. I wish I had my notes in front of me, but somebody from a session earlier today, the spirit guide said, now you're over your fears. Now you recognize that life is full of unlimited opportunities. And it really is like that. It's like, wow, now I don't have this phobia, the fear of whatever it is holding me back. What can I do? And it actually is exhilarating. You actually see this in people who get over that fear of inferiority I was talking about, uh-huh. where they suddenly start exercising self-determination, and it becomes almost addictive. They set goals, and then they realize mm-hmm. that they're completing their goals, and then they go, wow, if I could do that, what next can I do?
Oh, the grand things we can achieve when we clear all of that.
Open you up. You can realize that, you know, if you look around, one of the exercises that I talk about in the transformation is the guides will encourage people to look for heroes, look for people that you really admire, and recognize that you can do things like that. You know, you can mm-hmm. you can be somebody who made a difference in this world. You know, you get to the end of your life and you look back and you can say, yeah, that was great. What a ride that was. You know, I really made a difference to other people and, you know, help to create a better world.
Absolutely. The book is called The Transformation. This is Healing Your Past Lives to Realize Your Soul's Potential. It's Ainsley MacLeod. You can go to soul-world.com to find out about all of his books. And with your permission, I would love to have you back on, because this is just the first part of the story. Because as we talked about, once we clear away these fears and move forward, we're all coming together in sort of a collective consciousness, getting ready for 2012, right?
That's the transformation that's happening, yeah.
Da, 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 da. So we will definitely have Ainsley back on. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Remember, you can get a hold of him at soul-world.com. It's time for you to claim your life now, right now. And you can do that, maybe, perhaps, by finding out about your past lives. Thank you, Ainsley, so much for being here.
Well, thank you, Lisa, so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And can I just mention, for those people who are interested in these past lives, that I have over 40 stories in the transformation of clients of mine who've overcome their fears, and almost all of them are available to answer questions on a website called pastlifetalk.com. It's a forum where you can interact and you can talk to these people.
Oh, I love that. Pastlifetalk.com. So we will get Amber on that, and the lady who can't put her head under blankets, and even me, because I got some fear about being on water. So we'll talk about that. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and thanks for choosing to be positive now.